It's time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we study the book of Matthew, we're in lesson 27. And starting out with verse 33 of chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 33.
Chapter 8.
Matthew 8, 33. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Now, remind you last lesson, what was so big about going into that swine? Those two possessed people, remember the devils, and they asked him, "Did you come to torment us?" Look at verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" See, these devils, if you will, are dispensationalists. If you think they know there's going to be a time over in ages to come that they're going to be tormented. But they're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ right now saying, you know, what have we to do? And he goes on, he says, verse 31, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go ahead into the herd of swine. Now, what did we say the swine and the dogs were in a couple of chapters before that? False teachers, false prophets. So they much rather, those possessed devils, much rather go into the false prophets where they are anyway, you know, before anything else. But they departed. In verse 33, those that kept the swine went into the city and told everything that happened to the possessed devils. They came back, verse 34, the whole city came out to meet Jesus and told him to depart from their country. Why? They just lost all their pigs, for one thing, right? Okay? And here is a picture. If you think about it, the picture is how he has come to deliver Israel, and they rejected him. Okay? In the Bible, think about this. There's only the only person that calls Jesus by his first names. You know who they were? By their first name like this. Hey, Jesus. What have we done with thee, Jesus? Verse 34. And to meet Jesus. See, that name is just, to me, it's just like freely Jesus. You got people out there says Jesus, 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 right? These Jesus only people. That's Jesus, Jesus. It's Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He's got a title. He's got an office. It's a son of the God, son of the living God. But the ones that does that is the devils and the unbelievers. The proper and reverent title is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Hold your finger there and go to Philippians chapter 2. Because there's a lot of Jesus out there. You know that? One time I think every baseball team had a Jesus on it. You know that? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every name shall bow, and every things in heaven and in earth and in things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the God the Father. It's Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Back to chapter 9. Matthew 9. And he entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him the man sick of palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus enters into the town of, you remember where he's at? What's his city? Where's Jesus from at this time? Not Nazareth. Capernaum. That's his city. Capernaum is a place of consolation. Nazareth is a place of rejection. See, that's why there's nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Doesn't we remember Jesus of Nazareth? But which he where he lived. Matthew 4:13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. That's where his own city was at that time. He's a Nazarene, yes. And he lives in the place of rejection. That's where he was raised. But now he lives in Capernaum.
Say that he healed it, but I would assume he healed it.
Yes. Go to verse 3. Okay. When Jesus comes, if you're missing a step in what we've been studying, you can listen to messages before, and the way we worked up, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's up on a mountain in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he's up there giving them the law. Okay. Giving them what they need to do in the kingdom. When he comes down in verse 8, he comes down, the first thing he does, he heals a leper. Okay? And that's something you didn't mess with in the past. Leprosy is unheard of in today, unless you go to some of these foreign countries, you probably see. But he heals a leper. And he heals that leper and he tells him, go tell no man, but go tell the priest. And when you go tell the priest, you do what commanded of Moses. So he was cleansed, and then he had to go offer a sacrifice. Okay? But the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ healed that leper was why? God. Yes, God. He knew that he was God, and he also told go tell the priest. Who was the priest at that time? People in authority. Okay, they're the one that's supposed to show he is the Messiah and turn around and give it to everybody else. But he does, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, who can forgive sins? You sure?
Yeah.
Can't you preacher?
No.
Heavens, no.
Can't you priest? You know, what I'm talking about? They can't forgive sins. God Almighty forgives sins. And as we work down through here, you're going to see that they should acknowledge that God forgives sins. Look at verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemed. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now, where's their thoughts at? Right here where it matters, isn't it? Up here, people's got head knowledge all day long. But right here's where you really get, where the rubber meets the road of who you really are and what you're really thinking. For whether it is easier to say, thou sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Which is easier? Yeah, your sins are forgiven. But you tell somebody, rise up and walk. Now, that's a different story. They make a lot of TV shows on this stuff. Spiritual show business, what it is. Keep looking. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, then saith he that to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy own house. And he rose and departed to his house. Did that answer your question? Verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. In verse 3, they get mad at Jesus because he forgave the man of sins. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke Luke chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Luke chapter 5, 20 and 21. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now that's a comparison verse with what we just said. Now who can forgive sins? They knew that. And they said it's blasphemy. What does blasphemy mean? Speak ill against speaking. Verse 4, Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Psalms chapter 1. Hold your finger there. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms. Wait a minute. Maybe I wrote that down wrong. I wrote down the wrong verse, but there's Psalms. When Jesus said, knowing their thoughts, who can know your thoughts? And the Psalms tells you that. By healing the man, they received positive proof that Lord Jesus Christ was their Messiah. No ifs, ands, or buts. I like what Madison shared. If you don't mind me saying, you know, she's sitting here and she's been listening. She goes, Wow, if the Jews should have known that Jesus was God when he healed the leper, period. Bingo.
She's only 14.
You know, and I'm like, that's it. They should have known. Everything he was doing after he come down off that mountain, he done it in a way to show him who he was and who he's going to be. That's powerful when you can see that and understand that. And Jesus was the Messiah. He forgives their sin. Then he reads their mind. Then he heals the man and makes him walk. You think about that for a minute. Does he not forgive our sins? Can he not read your mind? Where is your mind at? Okay, here's your spirit. Here's your soul. And here's your body. Your spirit was separated from God Almighty before you were saved. You still had a heart. You still have a soul. Okay? But when you trust Christ died for your sin, that spirit can connect with that soul and it be able to feed that spirit and your soul with the Word of God. And that's where it really matters. And we looked over and over and over in the fact that we're you in your heart that matters. And always has in any dispensation that we looked at. It's a heart issue. The order of the events is important for Israel. First, the forgiveness of sins. Okay. Second, the healing and restoration. Israel looked for deliverance, but were not mindful of getting their sins right. They always wanted forgiveness, but I'm not a sinner. I'm righteous more than you. I know people like that today. You know, because they're not right. Israel never got the full physical blessings because they were not right spiritually. All through here, when they did something wrong, didn't they lose physical blessings? Look at what Moses did. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. Why? He disobeyed God, didn't he? He spanked the rock. Okay. But where was he at when the mountain of transfiguration? You know, I quit arguing with people that say, see, if you don't live right and if you continue in sin and you do this, you don't get to go into promised land. You know, they use that a lot, Moses. But I always say, where was Moses at in the mountain of transfiguration? Which is far better. He didn't go into the land physically. See, and a lot of people say, see, he lost his salvation. That's wrong. When you study the word cut off in the Bible, you have to do that. And a lot of it don't have to do with losing your salvation. They died. They got cut off. When explaining the difference between the mystery program and the kingdom program, you never want to say that Israel did not have a spiritual blessing, like we just said, such as forgiveness of sins. Exodus 19, Psalms 101. We're not turning there, but if you want to listen, Matthew 1, Acts chapter 3, Romans chapter 11. Go to Acts chapter 3. Let's look at some of that. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. You know what was going on in Acts chapter 2, right? Peter's at Pentecost. There's 15 nations there, or 15 tongues, and they're all Jews. Okay? Every tribe, when the Lord Jesus Christ died and Pentecost came on, every tribe, 12 tribes was represented there. A lot of people says the 10 was still in the north and 2 was down. No, every tribe was represented there from Israel. And he preached to them that they crucified the Lord of glory, didn't he? And he pricked their hearts. And then Acts chapter 3 is basically the same message. Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26 says, "For David speaks concerning him." No, that's 2, sorry. "Ye are the children," Acts 3:25, "ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, seeing him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquity." They had a chance to get their sins forgiven. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 11. As you study Paul's epistles and you look at some things, if you understand Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul is writing to the saved Israelite that was under that kingdom program that they got saved with Peter. And that's why I believe when Peter says, "My beloved Paul, who wrote some things unto you that was hard for you to understand." Now, where in the world in your Bible did Paul ever write to an Israelite, a saved Israelite, what we call a kingdom saint? He didn't write no books to them. And it's not Hebrews. God, we saw Jesus wrote Hebrews. God wrote Hebrews. Okay? But look, when he did that, Romans 9, 10, 11, if you look at it dispensationally, Paul is explaining to that Jew under Peter's apostleship message, this is what God is doing. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse... Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happening to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles will come in." Now, let me ask you something. Would you want to be a part of a nation, a part of a system out there that's blind right now? They got people out there putting you under that. You better listen up. Verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion to deliver, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That's Ezekiel 36, verse 24, and it's talking about ages come. "For this is my covenant unto them." Now who's that them? Didn't he just say it in verse 26? "When I shall take away their sins." That's over here, yeah. That's over here.
But when he says all of Israel will be saved.
All of Israel will be saved.
That was a little flock.
Yeah, and that's a little remnant. Yeah.
The believer that's Israel, not the unbelieving Jew.
See, some terminology that I talk with you guys about, when we look at that about over here, and you look about when he says all of Israel shall be saved, that's true Israel.
Believer.
Okay? That's what true Israel is. False Israel is not going to be a believer. We know that. We know that's why we look at this timeline. Up here is the true Israel, what Israel is supposed to be in. But we also know if this, we had room, there would be another line up here with apostate Israel. And people think that's what God is doing, and that's who He's going to save. Now, could they got saved? Yes. They heard what Peter, James, and John wrote and believed. Okay? But true believing Israel, that little flock, that little remnant, well, think about this. It only makes sense that when Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, that all the nation Israel follow Him and believe Him. Did they? No, they did not. So a small group followed Him and believed Him. And He says, it's My Father's good pleasure to give to you. Okay, when He says that, give to you, who becomes Israel at that time? That little flock. So that's all of Israel out of the whole world. So that's why when we talk about things like that, just remember, they're talking about the saved ones.
So whenever Paul was talking in Romans there, when he said, just because you are of Israel does not make you Israel. Well, only the believers are Israel.
You had to believe that. Go to Malachi chapter 7. Malachi chapter 7. Micah. Micah, thank you. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, right? Had one sister say, no, preacher. Micah chapter 7, verse 1. No, verse 18. Got the right Bible. It's page 951. Micah chapter 7. Who is, verse 18, who is God like unto thee that pardon iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He retained not His anger forever, because He delighted in mercy. Who can forgive iniquities? God. So don't think that He couldn't in the past, okay? Go back to, look at Isaiah while you're over here. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I am, He that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. So they had every opportunity to have their sins forgiven. And I believe justification, if you believe God, He justifies you. Sanctification is a different part. Go back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9:9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he saith unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Matthew follows the Lord Jesus Christ, right? As the writer of this book, I want you to think about something. As the writer of this book, and also the fact that Matthew met the Lord and His disciples at His home, Matthew makes a point to downplay this and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, couldn't Matthew look at me? Matthew chapter 1:1. But he waits 9 chapters after he writes it to say, he came to my house. Okay? Verse 10 through 13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat as meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meant. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call righteousness, but sinners to what? You think about that. How many of you right now, when the Lord is seen eating and with the sinners and publicans and Pharisees, questions why the Lord will do this? The Lord quotes Hosea 6:6. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. That's what he's quoting. It's okay, and he tells them to go learn what that meant. In other words, you should know what I'm talking. If I'm God, and I am, and I'm coming healing, and I am, I'm come forgiving sins, I am, then who am I coming to be with? The righteous or the unrighteous? The Lord came to save sinners and heal the sick. The Pharisees didn't want him because they thought they were okay. Think about this. Now, many of you may do this. Do you go to the doctor? Okay? When you're well. No. Come on now. Okay? Do you when you feel okay, do you write that big $400 check or whatever it costs to go to the doctor just because you're well? So why would Jesus come? What would Jesus, he said he come to do what? To heal the sick, the broken heart. That's who he came after, right? He didn't come after the righteous. Because if you think you're righteous, guess what? You don't need him. When you think you're whole and feeling good, I don't need that doctor. Oh, you need to go because your heart's feeling good. No, I don't need that doctor. You know, you got a little, breakout or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? That's when you're sick is when you need the doctor. That's what I'm trying to get at. I know we got some nurses and all that in here, and they're like, oh, don't take away my paycheck. I need them. But look, I'm just saying, you need that physician when you're sick. You don't need them when they're well. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill. He come for the sick. And he come for the unrighteous. Okay? And that's why today, you know, many people think they're holy in righteousness and they don't need God, don't they? You know? And that's why Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, it deals with that. It deals with the idol worshiping Gentile, and it deals with the righteous holy than thou, and it deals with the Jew that had the oracles of God. Verse 14. 9:14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast all, but the disciples fast not? The disciples of John the Baptist, remember, John the Baptist was a forerunner that was to decrease when the Lord Jesus Christ was to increase. And they asked him, why the disciples not to fast? Verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridechamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Can they?
Nope.
If you're the bridegroom, can the bride children be mourning? He's with them. They don't need to fast. They don't need anything. Look at this. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. The children of the bride chamber are the Lord's disciples. There. Okay? In this verse, it does not mention who is the bride is, does it? Okay? We know it's not the disciples from Luke chapter 12, verse 36. Let me ask you this. You heard the terminology, the bride of Christ? You know you don't find that in the New Testament terminology. There's a group of people out there started that, the bride of Christ, and they run with it. The only verse that you can reference anything about a bride is found in Revelation 21. Turn there real quick. Revelation 21. You are not the bride of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, is not the bride of Christ. Israel is not the bride of Christ. Look at this. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit, into the great and high mountain, and showed me that, underlined it, great city, holy, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That's what the bride is. And if you think about God was married to Israel back here in Isaiah 62, verse 1 and 5, and he put her away, divorced her, put her away when she went whoring after other gods. That's what he did. He married her and then he divorced her. What does Beulah mean? I know down home, y'all used to have a guy down sing Beulah Land, oh Beulah, you know, and he sung it with, you know, just out there. But what does that mean? It means marriage. They're talking about marrying into a land, that beautiful country, a beautiful land. And God will marry the nation Israel back into the land of Palestine. That's over an age that's come and has not happened yet. And I'm sorry that a lot of people out there are listening that don't understand about that. You know, we talked about 1948 in the past, and we talked about, oh, Israel's a nation. Now, in the world standard, did Israel become a nation in 1948? By the world standard, yes. But in God's view and His Word, had they come a nation yet? No. Okay? They have not. And that disturbs a lot of people. It's a figure of speech describing a union, a lasting relationship that God will have with them. That's what He's going to do. But as long as God is with them, the answer to their question, they don't have to fast. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for so much in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.